Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, family. And so friends.
Meg and I are going to use that promo to start a reality show called Pastors' Wives of Detroit. Yeah.
I'm not sure what the ratings would be on that.
Yeah. Good morning. We are starting a new series today. The idea of the series, we're calling it Passages, is to allow the communicators each week to just share a passage that God has been using in their own life, a passage that maybe just jumped out to them or they've been pondering over the course of time. We're often teaching through a book of the Bible. This just gives us a chance to step back from that and just ask our communicators, what has God been saying to you through his word? So that's what Passages is all about. And before we jump into this one, I'm going to give Meg an opportunity to pray for us.
Good morning, Father. How you love us, how you love us. Just the words of that song. Let them sink in this morning. You just love us because it is your nature to love. No matter where we've been or what we've done, you love us. And Father, just pray that we carry that melody in our heart into this week, that we carry it always. We ask that you reveal yourself today. Through the words that you've given us, and please help me not to forget every single word that you've given me for this morning. So we thank you that you're here. We're not talking behind your back. You're here with us, and help us to love you back. In Jesus' name, amen.
Wow. Clapping for your prayer. That's a good prayer. Hey,
we're off to a strong start.
We're off to a strong start. So several weeks ago, Meg and I began to have a conversation about a particular passage that God has used kind of to get Meg's attention, and it's created some family conversations. And as I was planning out the passage series, it just became clear to me that we needed to do this one together because this is the passage that's been stirring in our house and especially in Meg. So I'm going to let her kind of share what the passage is and why it hit you so much. And then we'll get into it from there.
Yeah, so last May, I was reading through Exodus, and one particular verse just popped, Exodus 31:13. So we are going to look at that this morning. Actually, we're going to look at 12 through 14 just to frame it. So if you want to look up Exodus 31, 12 through 14, while you're doing that, I'll give you a little bit of background on the book of Exodus. So the book of Exodus.
Hold on a second. So there's Bibles under your seat. If you need a Bible and you didn't bring one, if you don't have a Bible, you can keep the one under your seat. If you're online, we encourage you to have a Bible in front of you. Again, if you look up Exodus 31, we're going to read 12 through 14 in a minute, but she's going to give you just a little bit of context.
Okay. So the book of Exodus tells the story of how God rescued the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And if you want the backstory of how the Israelites were enslaved, became enslaved in Egypt, you can at another time read through Genesis 37 through Exodus 1. But we're starting at the point where God has liberated the slaves. And he has this mass of people, hundreds and thousands of people, that he's going to lead to the land that he has promised them. But there's a problem. The Israelites, for centuries, have not had a taste of freedom. They have worked day in and day out from dawn till dusk. They've been treated as animals. They've been seen as machinery for the purpose of constructing the Egyptian empire. In fact, in Exodus 6, it says that their spirits were broken because of the harsh slavery. So they've been subjected to extreme abuse. And they don't really know how to live with healthy boundaries, to live, a healthy life. So God is going to redeem them and remind them of who they are, that they were created in his image, that they are, that they have dignity and they have worth. And so he sets out to do that by putting a framework together. A framework of commands and invitations and codes of conduct that's going to help them to live in healthy ways as individuals and help them to build a community where they can love each other well. And so he starts in Exodus 20 with the Ten Commandments. And a lot of us are familiar with the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other God before me. Do not lie. Keep holy the Sabbath. So that's the first thing that he...
I'm turning your pages for you.
That's the first thing that he rolls out in this framework. These are good ways to live, following these commands. And then he establishes some laws and codes of conduct. He talks about laws about social justice and retribution and what else? Laws of, about slavery and the census tax, things like that. And then he tells them about sacred festivals, like these are the ways that, you know, you're going to celebrate me and how I've provided for you and celebrate one another. And then he invites them to build a tabernacle for him. He says, I want to dwell in your midst. I want to be with you, and I want you to be with me. And he gives these very, very detailed instructions about the tabernacle. All these specifics about how big it should be, how tall, how wide, the fabric to be used, the fine metals to be used, the incense, the oil, the furnishings. I have a point that there's just all these details, right? There's 10 chapters. If you read through it, chapter 20 through chapter 30, 10 chapters of very, very specific details. And then I move into chapter 31, and I'm reading, and I come to verse 13. So if you will look at your, whatever you're reading from, or you can look at the screen.
Sorry, your mic fell off.
Oh.
I'm sure it's...
I am going to read today's passage to you. I don't think I need these glasses, actually. So Exodus 31, 12 through 14a. And the Lord said to Moses, you are to speak to the people of Israel and say, above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths. For this is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I, the Lord, sanctify you. You shall keep the Sabbath because it is holy for you. And when I read this verse and I thought, wait a minute, I have read 10 chapters of all these details, all these specs. And God said, above all, keep my Sabbath.
And so why do you suppose it's been so challenging? Like I said, we've been talking about this for a couple of months on our own journey with the Sabbath. Why is this particular verse hitting you the way that it is, and why so much energy and thought into it?
Yeah, it just pierced my heart when I read it, because Sabbath has never been an above all for me. We practice Sabbath together, but it's on the list, you know. Bible study is on the list, prayer is on the list, family is on the list, fitness is on the list, and Sabbath is on the list. It's never been an above all for me. And when I read those words, above all, I thought, I think I need to take this more seriously. There's an invitation in here for me.
Yeah, so it's created a lot of dialogue between the two of us. Like Meg said, for the last couple decades, we've been practicing Sabbath, trying to get better at it, trying to do Sabbath. We'll talk a little bit about some of the wins and some of the not-so-good things that have come out of that. But I think the best place to start is maybe just a definition, or helping people understand what is Sabbath. So why don't you share what is Sabbath?
Okay, so why don't we start where the Bible starts, with Genesis. We'll look at the first Sabbath.
And these passages will just come up on the screen. You don't need to try to chase through all the passages we use.
So Genesis 2, 1 through 3. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. So what is the Sabbath? First of all, it's holy. Holy means to be set apart. It's other than. And so God designated this frame of time as holy. And then he designated it as a day. So he's given us a seven-day week. And we six of those days are for work. And one of those days is for Sabbath. And work is good and rest is good. And I think, you know, that's what God is modeling. And then if we just take another quick look at a portion of today's passage. Exodus 31, 13, the first part of it says, "Above all, you shall keep my Sabbaths, for this is a sign between you and me." So the sign between you and me, it identifies Sabbath as being relational. Like, this is something we're doing together. By you participating in Sabbath, you know, just identifies you as belonging to me. You know, John in his prayer, he said something like, you know, when we respond to God, it shows that we love him. So practicing the Sabbath is relational. It's just, you know, like a sign is like a demonstration of doing something.
So we ought to view Sabbath in our own rhythms as a day set apart, 24-hour period set apart, that we ought to view it that there's something sacred, something holy about the day, that it's an invitation to relationship. As we've gone through this talk a couple times, the one thing that has really struck me are the words, "For this is a sign between you and me." And I've been thinking about, like, what does that mean? What does it mean that this is a sign? And I was thinking about the fact that Meg and I have signs to one another all the time. There are things that I do that is a sign to you that I am committed to you. There's things that you do in our relationship that is a sign to me that she is committed to me. We serve each other, we love each other, not just with our words, but the way we move towards one another or do things for one another. And I just think that that's what God is getting at in Exodus 31, 13, when he says, "This is a sign between me and you." This is your way of saying, my relationship with you matters. My relationship with you, God, is of top priority, and I am going to, once a week, for a 24-hour period, set aside that time, make it holy, make it sacred, make it a complete day, and I am going to show you a sign that I am serious about my relationship with you. So the element of relationship is a huge part of it. The other thing that I've just been thinking about is Sabbath is all about trust. And if you think about the people who received this command when it first came, it's an agricultural society, right? An agrarian society. And the idea of not tending the fields is pretty scary. One of the things Meg said this week was, imagine if it rained for 6 days, and on the Sabbath was the first day you could get into the fields and get the plants back to where they needed to be, or maybe even harvest what needed to be harvested. But there was this sense of, do you trust me or don't you? Like, do you really trust me enough to stop and not do the work, or do you really believe that you are your own provider? And when I struggle with Sabbath, when I struggle to practice Sabbath, it's always because I believe I'm my own provider. I believe if I don't do it, it's never going to get done. I got to get to this stuff. So there's this sense of I, and Sabbath is about, it's not about you, it's about trusting that God is in it, trusting that God is doing something, trusting that if I set aside this time, God is actually going to multiply my time, my energies, and my effectiveness. So trust is a huge part of it. The other thing we want to talk about for a few minutes is kind of qualities of the Sabbath, or another way to say that is some of the distinct characteristics. So we've defined it. What are some of the characteristics of Sabbath?
Right. Well, one thing Sabbath is not is a day off. So there's a brilliant theologian, Eugene Peterson. He's a prolific author, and he wrote the paraphrase of the Bible called The Message. He says that a day off is a bastard Sabbath. And what he means by that is when you take a day off, if it's not centered on God, you can't slap a Sabbath label on it. Like, oh, this is my day off, this is my Sabbath. There's nothing wrong with taking a day off. A day off is very good. A week off is very good. But it's not a Sabbath. So we'll look at, you know, God's invitation to do Sabbath the right way. So Doug is going to read Isaiah 58, 13 through 14. And just listen to this passage and hear God's invitation to delight.
So this is taken from The Message paraphrase that Eugene Peterson wrote, but it says, "If you watch your steps on the Sabbath and don't use my holy day," there's that word holy again, "for personal advantage, if you treat the Sabbath as a day of joy, God's holy day as a celebration, if you honor it by refusing business as usual, making money, running here and there, then you'll be free to enjoy God. Oh, I'll make you ride high and soar above it all. I'll make you feast on the inheritance of your ancestor Jacob. Yes, God says so. Isn't that cool?
Yeah. So I think the key, the overall characteristic of Sabbath is delight. It's a time to delight. And first of all, we use that time to delight in God, delight in who he is, spending some time with God, thinking about, you know, what he's created, the, you know, just the gift that this world is. One thing I do sometimes when we practice Sabbath, we try to do Sabbath on from Friday noon till Saturday noon.
Full confession.
Haven't done one in at least 3 weeks.
Yeah, 3 weeks ago we decided we were talking on Sabbath, and for 3 weeks.
For a few hours on Friday.
Yes, but we've had patio events. Anyway, that's just what God does. He's like, oh, really? You're going to talk about Sabbath?
Honest with you and God. So sometimes what I do on a Sabbath is a Sabbath walk, and I'll go to the Ford house, and I will walk the paths, and I will try to just notice things that God is gifting me with that day. Like I say, Father, thank you for this yellow flower. Oh, thank you for that red bird. Thank you for the breeze on my face. Thank you for, you know, the ripple in the water.
You don't thank him for the geese, do you?
Well... Because I have to be honest with God. I'm like, God, thank you for the geese. They're not your best work. You know, that's how I try to, like, stay in that.
As I navigate the goose droppings.
Yeah, not your best work. But so it just gets me in this posture of gratitude. It, like, awakens my senses and gets me thinking about, wow, I mean, there's a lot in this world to notice about God.
The more you talk about it, to me, that's one of the big keys to Sabbath. Like, it's more about an attitude on that day or a positioning. So you even talked about, like, delighting in the food that we eat, delighting in nature, but it's an intentional time of just seeing God and everything. And the one thing we've talked about a lot and over these last couple of weeks is if we do it on Sabbath, it's going to spill over to the rest of the week. It's training us for the week ahead, for sure.
Yeah.
So we delight in God and...
Well, and I just wanted to add one more thing to that, too, about delighting God is, you know, paying attention to his invitations. Because we saw Jesus, he healed on the Sabbath, right? He talked about how it's okay to do good on the Sabbath.
For sure.
So let's not be so busy with our Sabbath that, you know, we can't talk to our neighbor about Jesus because we're on Sabbath. But, you know, so look for opportunities to bless someone on your Sabbath.
So we delight in God and we delight.
Delight in rest. Literally, Sabbath is about stopping. It's about slowing down. It's about, you know, getting to rest. It's not having to rest. It's, you know, getting to be restful. And this, I'll tell you about a Sabbath habit that I got into. So like I said, we go noon to noon, and I like want to get everything done before I Sabbath, right? Because I don't want to have to think about when I'm on my Sabbath, what I got to get done when I'm off my Sabbath. So I can try to get everything done. Well, inevitably, I'm not done at noon on Friday. So I start doing this with God. God, I'm going to start my Sabbath at 1 today, but I'm going to finish it at 1 tomorrow. So it's still 24 hours. And then at 2 o'clock, I'm like, okay. Or at 1 o'clock, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to push it to 1:30. So I find myself doing that. And that's not the point. Like Doug talked about, you know, that it's a time of trust. The point is we stop midstream. We stop. And we just take that time to honor God. God took a day of rest. It's what he modeled for us. And just, you know, remember that God's going to give us, when we're honoring God, he's going to give us the time we need to get everything done. And sometimes what I think needs to be done doesn't even need to be done. It's just because it's on my mind.
I love that phrase, to just stop midstream. I think that's worth holding on to, because you will convince yourself, well, I can't this time. So,
We should
have just canceled those patio events right before the people said, sorry, it's Sabbath, you can't come over. Anyway.
Yeah. And think about what rest looks like for you. You know, we're all wired in a different way. It doesn't mean, you know, okay, I'm resting on Sabbath. I sit idly. I don't do anything. It's what can you, you know, incorporate in that day that makes it a restful day for you?
Yeah. And to delight.
Oh, and delight in play.
Yeah, I like this one.
I mean, God talks about, you know, Sabbath being a celebration, and he loves to watch his children play. Do you ever love to watch your children play, or the neighborhood kids, or your nieces and nephews, and they're gleeful, and they're doing something that's, you know, giving them joy? You know, how has God wired you? What taps into your creativity? What nourishes your soul? You know, maybe it's listening to an album from start to finish, or, you know, if you, you know, playing your guitar or hanging out on your boat. Just use the Sabbath to play, to delight in God, and just, you know, enjoy his company. Yeah. Oh, and, oh, are you going to say that?
I don't know what I was going to say. What were you going to say?
I was going to say on our Sabbath, we do date night. Right. So that's one of the things we do. We do date night on Friday night, and it's a time where we reconnect. Sabbath, remember, is relational. So it'd be time to, you know, be intentional about hanging out with people who you love, your family. Yeah, so make it relational and make it restful and playful.
Yeah, and the caveat to all of that is, it's funny, whenever I have Sabbath conversations in our small groups, there's always like questions like, can I mow my lawn? Can I? Yeah. The idea is not to come up with a list of rules. The idea is to do what refreshes you, if mowing your lawn is refreshing. But whatever you do, don't just transfer the busyness of your rest of your week to, well, you know, somebody says you can read a novel, listen to an album. Don't make a long list, do all those things, and then leave God out of it, because that's not really a Sabbath, right? So whatever you do, if it's helping you to focus on God, if it's helping you to connect with God, then do it. If it doesn't, I love to garden. For other people, they'd be like, that would be the worst thing ever. But for me to go out and to have a conversation with God while I'm doing my gardening stuff, it's a great thing. So we're not trying to give you a script. We're trying to give you a framework. So one of the questions that we hear all the time when we talk about Sabbath is, does Sabbath need to happen on Sunday?
No, it does not. God modeled a rhythm of 6 days of work and one day of rest. And all of us have different lifestyles. We're, you know, in various fields. The point is that you take a day to honor God, and you do it regularly. You figure out what that rhythm looks like for you.
Yeah, I think the one thing I would say in this is you do have to decide beforehand. If you start every week with, well, I am going to take a Sabbath when I have a chance this week, you're not going to take a Sabbath. You have to say, like we have, we hold that pretty sacred. From Friday at noon to Saturday at noon, we know the kind of things that we typically do, but it's very much predetermined that this is our Sabbath, and you need to do the same thing. Whatever works for your schedule, decide beforehand. One of the things that's come out of this conversation between the two of us is, for me anyway, a complete paradigm shift, and I want Meg to share that with you, because it's really caused me to think about Sabbath differently in the last few weeks.
So I was listening to a podcast on the Sabbath by Peter Scazzaro. He wrote Emotionally Healthy Relationships. We did his study here, about a year or so ago. And one thing he said in that message is, he said, we work from our rest, not rest from our work. I'll say that again. It's kind of a play on words, but we work from our rest, not rest from our work. So the idea here is that Sabbath isn't about working ourselves to death, you know, working at this crazy pace for 6 days, and then we collapse, you know, into Sabbath, like, oh my gosh, I'm so exhausted. We try to rest so that the next day after Sabbath, we can get up and, you know, pick up that pace and do it all over again. We start with Sabbath. We start from a place of rest. I think it's safe to assume that when God created the world, he wasn't depleted. Like, he didn't come to creation and be like, I am depleted, I'm exhausted. He started from a place of rest. He did his work, and restful, informed and infused and fueled everything he did. And that's how it is for us. We rest on Sabbath, and then we carry that into our week. And because we're rested, we're making better decisions. We're more available to our families. It's a quality of life thing that we never are really getting to that point of depletion.
So the way I've sort of interpreted that quote up there and kind of applied it in my own life is, I've always seen Sabbath as recovery and not preparation. Like, I do all this work and then I have to recover from all the work. But the paradigm shift is, what if I saw Sabbath as preparing me for more kingdom impact in the week ahead? It's getting me ready for whatever God has for me on Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Like, it sounds subtle, but it's pretty profound for me personally to say, this is not just about recovery. This is about preparation. And I want to be as prepared as I can to do whatever God wants me to do, to be effective for his kingdom. So it's just, it's a beautiful thing. It wouldn't be fair or even genuine if we didn't talk about our own journey with Sabbath and maybe talk a bit about some of the pitfalls, mistakes that we've made along the way, and even maybe we can even touch on some of the benefits that we've experienced as we've been trying to do Sabbath for a couple decades. So let's talk about the pitfalls first.
Right. Well, in particular, I remember when our kids were young and we decided we are going to practice Sabbath as a family. And Doug and I came up with what the Sabbath rules would be, and we doled those out to our kids. And essentially what it ended up being is that no electronic devices on Sabbath. But you know what we didn't do? We didn't replace it with anything. We didn't make it relational. You know, we didn't say, okay, you know, talk with our kids and say, okay, you know, we're going to start practicing Sabbath. What would Sabbath be like for you? Like, what would be restful? What would be, you know, what would be delightful? What would make you happy? What would give you joy on Sabbath? And, you know, if our kids, if we had done that and our kids would say, well, we'd like to play video games, you know, looking back, I wish we would have said, okay, we're going to play video games for 2 hours, but we're going to play them together, which would have been torture for me. But okay, you know, we're all going to line up on the couch and we're going to play video games together, or we're all going to go to a movie together, or we're all, instead of, we just took things away on Sabbath and we just sucked the joy out of Sabbath for our kids. And, you know, and that's like the Pharisees, that's what they did, right? And when Jesus was on earth and doing his thing and encountering Sabbath, he's like, they've made it a burden for these people, and God made it an invitation of joy, and you've ruined it. I'm paraphrasing.
That's kind of what he said, though.
And I feel like we became the Sabbath police in our
We were the Pharisees.
Home.
Like,
yeah.
No, you can't. Don't turn on the TV.
Yeah, so that was definitely, you know,
yeah,
a fail
I don't think
for
they
us.
Would say, boys, we
our
love
kids probably
Sabbath.
Hate Sabbath to this day.
Yeah, well, put another $20 in the counseling jar. Yeah, so just if you're going to do, one of the things we wanted to come out of this conversation this morning is that you would do some reflection on Sabbath, but that you would also talk about it with your family. Talk about, and I would just go back to what we said, like, There's an element of invitation and delight. So don't make it a burden. Make it delightful. And I wish we would have said, what do you guys want to do today? Well, let's go to the zoo. But we could have went to the zoo and we could have had more spiritual conversations about God's incredible creation. Why do you suppose God made that giraffe with a 9-foot neck, you know? And there's just a way we could have redeemed that. So
it's so easy to do joyful things and center it on God.
Let's talk for just a minute about some of the benefits, what has come out of practicing Sabbath for us.
Well, first I'll say we were in Israel a few years ago. We stayed in Jerusalem, and we're very inspired by the way the Jewish people practice Sabbath. I mean, when I say everything shuts down, everything shuts down. Public transportation. So there's no traffic on the streets, and you see families walking in the middle of the street, just families just walking around together. You hear them singing in their homes, praying in their homes. It's just beautiful.
Very celebratory.
It's very celebratory.
Yeah,
it's
very family.
Very inspiring. And, you know, what we've, as empty nesters now, we do practice Sabbath in that 24-hour period, and it's a way for us to reconnect, and I do my Sabbath walk. You like to kind of tinker with projects and things, but here's like your oil light when you know, okay, this is we're in trouble, is if you're doing something on the Sabbath and it's completely stressing you out, and you're short with your spouse, and you're short with, you know, your neighbor or whatever, it's not restful. Like, just scratch that, and next week try something else. Like, experiment for what works for you. If it doesn't, take it off the table.
Maybe a little bit dangerous because we haven't talked about this one.
Oh no.
So part of our rhythm is we go out on Friday night. We start on Friday at noon, spend time together. We go out on Friday night on our date night. We like to get up early and go to the market. So we go to Eastern Market. We do that together. We just enjoy it. It's a great time relationally. But sometimes going to the market also turns into, can we stop at Whole Foods? Can we go out to the, you know, we need to swing
by. The Asian market.
Then we're going to go by Costco. And I'm like.
Honeybee.
Yeah. By the time we're done, I'm like, that is the farthest thing from a Sabbath for me. Let's go shopping on any other day. But that's what she's saying. Like if it drains you and you're like, oh, for the love of Pete, I don't want to go to 37 stores.
And I love markets, so I'm like, oh, let's go to the market. So, you have to work it out.
So, all right, you've listened to all this on Sabbath. This is what I want to do. We want to give you two questions to think about. We're just going to give you 10, 15 seconds to think about it now, but I want you to hold on to the question. The questions will end up coming up on the screen. Maybe you want to even take a picture of the questions. There's two things that I really desire from our talk today. One is that you would do some personal examination about Sabbath in your own life, but have a conversation. Have a conversation with your small group. Have a conversation with your C or D group. Have a conversation with your family. If you have adult kids, have a conversation with them. If your rhythm today is to go have a family meal afterwards, talk about Sabbath. Like, just say, how are we doing with Sabbath? What do you guys think? Are there things we should change? Things we should do differently? So the first question for you to think about, is there, going back to our passage for today, is there an above-all approach to your Sabbath? Is there an above-all approach to your Sabbath? Or is it like Meg, where she said, it's on the list. Maybe it's not even on the list, but something to think about. So just think about that for just a minute. And the second question is, do you need to make some changes going forward in order to prioritize a Sabbath rhythm? And obviously, if the answer is yes, maybe even starting to think about what are those changes, that's a great place for you to go in that conversation later today or in the weeks ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and feel the freedom to experiment. Take baby steps.
For sure.
It's this. Doing Sabbath is harder than I thought it would be.
Yep.
Yeah, just because of my own habits. And I'd like to leave you with one more passage. Hebrews 4, 9 through 11. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience.
There was a group of people that met in the chapel this morning and prayed for you, and this is what they heard, that there is a woman here or online that is just crying out to Jesus to bring peace and resolution. Some child needs to be listened to, so you may have a child that's trying to communicate something to you. A child that has lost their parents, I'm not sure what that means, but maybe that resonates with you. That there is a man saying that he has got this, but he's trying to do it without Jesus, and he needs Jesus. Sounds like a Sabbath conversation. And someone is suffering with some back issues. We'd love to pray for you. So if you need prayer for anything, even if you want to just pray that God would help you to change your Sabbath rhythm, we'd love to pray for you down here. There's people who are trained. If you're online right now, we encourage you to call during the week. Just ask for one of the pastors, and we will pray for you on the phone there as well. Thank you for being a part of the service this morning. Come back next week as we continue passages. Again, if you want prayer, just come on down. God bless you.
Bless you.